Good afternoon. My name is Bob Patterson, and I am your newly installed moderator of Presbyterian New Covenant. I want to make sure, make absolutely sure that Steve is very close by, and Jenny is very close by, so I can feel their presence. I would like to announce that I have the honor and privilege of presiding over today's formal proceedings of the Presbytery. I would like at this time to welcome the members of family and friends of Jenny that are here with us today, the members of our administrative commission that are here behind us, will be coming in a few minutes. I appreciate them being here. Also, I would like to welcome any other members of Presbytery that's here that's not affiliated with this church. And finally, I would like to the congregation of this church, I want to thank you personally for the kind reception my wife and I received this morning. Very heartfelt, and we appreciate it very much. It was a beautiful service, and we're enjoying being here. Nacogdoches is very special to me for 2 years of my life. Story later. I have a couple of announcements I'd like to make. First of all, immediately following the service today, there will be a reception at Westminster Hall, or Fellowship Hall as I would call it, but I hear it's Westminster Hall, so please make arrangements to be there. And also at the end, when Jenny gives her final benediction of the service, there's some beautiful music being played. So please just have a seat after her benediction and listen to the beautiful music. I think it'll be very enjoyable for all of us. Steve, do you have anything you'd like to add? Jenny, do you have anything you want to add from the back row? Okay. God, through the voice of the congregation of Westminster Presbyterian Church, has called Jennifer Zellner Marshall, a candidate under the care of the Presbytery of New Covenant, to serve as associate pastor in the Presbyterian Church USA. Jenny has been examined by the Presbytery of New Covenant and judged ready to accept this call, and we are here today to ordain and install her on their behalf as teaching elder in the Presbyterian Church USA. The members of the Administrative Commission assembled, not before you today, but they'll be here in a few minutes, I promise. They were elected by the Presbytery and have the full authority of the Presbytery to execute this ordination and installation. I now invite you to join in this service as printed in your bulletin. May the Lord be with you. Let us worship together. Thank you.
I'm sorry, but I have to say this. Ask some Jacks. For those of you who know me and remember me, this is my home college, my home university. And it's always been a home church to me because I had attended my undergraduate studies here at Westminster Presbyterian Church. Greetings and welcome on this second Sunday of Advent. Join me in the call to worship. We are gathered here today to worship, celebrate, and respond to the call of God. Come to knowledge this, each other, and the invitation of one among us to serve. We have come to reaffirm our own calling, to remember God's call to each of us. And our lips, these words of grace and hope, feet move swift. Our hands grow strong in the cause of love and justice. Our hearts quicken in the service of reconciliation and care. And our spirits encouraged, oppressed, and elect. God be with us.
Thank you. Let us pray. Almighty God, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, we come before you now with songs of praise in our hearts. We join with all of creation in glorifying you. We brought this world spinning into motion. You carefully crafted the most amazing creatures and the most awe-inspiring landscapes. And you also created us, human beings, women and men made in your image. People infinitely loved by you, known by you, and called by you for meaningful purposes in this life. We praise you for all that you are, all that you have done and are doing, and all that you've called us to be. Amen.
In the midst of our sorrows and guilt, our doubt and regrets, we are bathed in light and beauty that come from God. Trusting God's love for us, let us make our confession together, followed by a silent prayer. God of love and mystery, make us whole. Heal the wounds we carry in us, and heal the wounds we have created in others. Make us strong in the broken places, that we will know of what we speak when we offer mercy and hope. Forgive us and enable us to forgive in that same way. God of love and mystery, make us whole through your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Sisters and brothers in Christ, the mercies of God are from everlasting to everlasting. Let us proclaim the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Be seated. Will you pray with me? Dear gracious, loving God, we gather before you as your children, each coming in with our own burdens to bear and our worries that have kept us up at night and keep us fearful and anxious. But we've gathered in this space to worship you, to give you everything we have. So we ask that you pour your spirit onto our hearts at this very moment, dear Lord, that we may let go of all those things that cloud our vision of you, if even for only this hour, so that we can truly hear what it is you have to say to us today. Amen.
Oh, good, I should.
have to follow them every time. The first scripture reading comes from the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel, chapter 3, 1 through 10. Please listen now for the word of the Lord. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli, and in those days the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. And then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called, "Samuel!" And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lay down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. So the Lord called Samuel a third time. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me?" Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood there calling as all the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." The word of the Lord.
Please be seated. I am so happy to be here with you this day. I love worship in your in this context this morning, loved hearing the choir sing, loved meeting the congregation. I got to teach along with the other leaders, the youth class. It's been a joy to be here. I've been waiting for this day so long. And the text that Jenny selected for us to hear today is from Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. Listen for God's word. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The word of the Lord. One of the great mysteries of the faith is why the great God of the universe cares about us, each and every one of us, and has hopes and dreams for us, wants to be part of our lives. But it is true because we see evidence of it all the time in other people's lives and in our own lives, and know that God is above all and yet all around us, even within us and beneath us. God is all in all, life and spirit, our very being and essence. It is the very light. God is the very light that illumines our lives. But with every light, every single light, there are those who want to extinguish it. Say, "No, impossible, can't be." Like when Samuel was taken by his mother to grow up in the temple, with her hopes that he would grow up better there. And one night, Samuel heard a voice calling him. It was like just a glimmer of light in the night, just enough to make him get up and go to the priest, who said, "No, go back to bed." Oh, very little light there, a great big no. And Samuel was called again, and Eli told him again, "No," called again, told no again, until finally he said, "Okay, well, maybe you're right. Go listen again and do what you are told. I'm going to sleep." And Samuel listened and believed. And somehow those good hopes, that good news, the gospel, became embodied in this little boy named Samuel. As unlikely as that was, a little boy called to do good, ordained to do good, did it for years to come as the very first prophet ever for the people of Israel. But you can find that same story over and over again, where others all through the years are called, ordained, given work to do, and embodied the good news, the gospel in their lives, like Moses and like David and like Solomon and Elijah and Isaiah and Jeremiah. So many there are that we don't even know all of their names, but through them we heard God's word and we saw God's light carried on century after century, age after age, until one day, in the fullness of time, the light, the word, was embodied in a child named Jesus, who grew into a man who lived out this calling perfectly, doing God's word, speaking God's word, and doing God's work so powerfully that people recognized that he was the very embodiment of the good news in such a way that he was the Word of God incarnate, the living presence of God with us, Emmanuel, the Christ. And yet, even Jesus had no's hurled at him by religious leaders, by the Roman state, those who were frightened of him. They accused him of blasphemy against God and sedition against the state, sentencing this innocent man to death on a cross where he died and was buried until the third day when the women came to wash his body and give him the respect and honor that was due and mourn for him with the deepest of prayers and attention. But instead, there was a light coming out of that tomb, and it took an angel to remind them of all that he had said, and the women felt within them this tug of life, this certainty of hope, this feeling that something new was going on here, that new life had come to be, and they knew that the light was now shining in the world. These women, you know, they were the usual women. It depends on which gospel you read, who is named. Mary Magdalene is named in all four of the gospels, and then there's Joanna sometimes named, and Mary, James's mother, she was there, and other women mostly unnamed. And that's what we usually remember about the story about them getting up and going to tell, while glossing over one very important fact right here in the middle of it all. We said, oh, it was the usual women, you know, the women we hear about in those little side stories, those women who they bring the meals, they set the tables, they do pay for most of the disciples' trips, or they stay home and they take care of the children at home and keep life going. You know, the usual women. But it's only because we have been told that they are the usual women. I mean, it was not usual at all what was happening in this moment, because women are not usual beings. The angel called them by name, Mary Magdalene and Mary. He's not here. He has been raised. As he said, come see the place where he lay, and then go quickly and tell his disciples, this is my message for you. You cannot miss that the resurrection is first told to women, first shown to them, and they are the ones who are called to do something about it. They are called to ministry. You can call them the first evangelist. An evangelist is one who tells the good news. That's what they were to do. You can call them the first preachers because they went to share the word of God to everyone. You can call them the first apostles. An apostle is someone who is sent out. They were sent out. You can call them all of those things, but what you cannot do is overlook the fact that they were women and they were called by an angel of the Lord. But it gets even better than that. For they set off running, and within a few moments, suddenly is how it is now described, they run into Jesus, the risen Christ. Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, are the first to see the truth of the resurrection in person right in front of their eyes. And Jesus even speaks to them, greetings, he says. And they don't scream or run away or faint in a frenzy. They rush to him and they grab hold of him and they love him and worship him and believe in him. And then Jesus, not an angel, not a burning bush, not a voice in the middle of the night, but Jesus Christ, the resurrected one, Christ himself, with the light of all lights glowing from him, says to them, go and tell my brothers. Lord have mercy, they have been ordained by Christ himself right here. Go and tell, evangelize, preach, teach, share the good news, and they do it. They go. They knew where the disciples were, hidden away, locked up in a room, afraid. Breathlessly, the women arrived and told the story and how what they had seen was true, and the men would have nothing to do with it, wouldn't listen, said no. No, 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 wouldn't listen, shooed them out of the room, said, "What an idle tale this is." An idle tale? An idle tale is one that just sort of sits there, lifeless, doesn't do anything, just idle. Tell me if I'm wrong here, but isn't it the men who are idle in this story? Isn't it the women who are full of life? And doesn't the story rise to its power when we see it acted out by them? Peter does finally get up, I suppose after he got permission from an appropriate committee, and he goes to the tomb and he sees it's empty. In John's version, it's John and Peter who get up and go, and they have a race to see who can get there first, and John wins, but then he lets Peter go in the tomb first. Either way, the men are either idle or in a foot race. They're either watching sports or asleep on the couch. And the women are the ones seeing the resurrection. Where is the light in this story? Well, it's the first rays of light that come out of that, out from the sun that Easter morning as those women are walking to the tomb. And then it's that light that is in the tomb that just shines to let them know that it is empty. It's in the brilliance of an angel. It's in the call to ministry of these two women. And by every right you can possibly name to every woman who sees and believes and answers the call and goes into ministry from that day forward forever. So one day Jenny Marshall came to me and said, "I am called to ministry." And I knew she had been to seminary. It had been 10 years earlier. She graduated, but I just assumed that her calling was to be a church musician because, I mean, she did have a doctorate in it. And she could play the organ like no one I had ever heard, was teaching college-level music, accompanying like one with music that just flows out of her fingertips, and loved working with students. So when she told me she believed that she was called to do ministry, I thought, no, 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 no. You have made my dreams come true as the best musician in the history of the church. Please don't upset my plan for my life. But I didn't say that out loud. I said, "Well, okay. Well, let's talk about this a little bit more." And it didn't take long for me to see the light that was in her life and to have it pour into me and around me and let me know that she was more than I could have ever imagined. "Yes," I said. And so did our whole church. They knew, they could see it. And immediately we sent her to the presbytery and they said, "No." There always has to be a no. Too often it is the presbytery, I'll just tell you that. They said, "No, your degree isn't good enough. It's too old. You have to wait 6 months and think about it." 6 more months about thinking about it for 10 years? But she is so calm. She is so easy. She said, "Okay." And she thought about it for 6 months. And at the end of 6 months, they called and said, "Oh, I'm sorry, we've been so busy. We just haven't had time to get around to it. Could you just wait 3 more months and we'll get back to you about that?" And they just waited. And in 3 more months, they said, "Yes, but They always say, yes, but. I don't know. Yes, but you have to prove yourself. You have to take a whole semester of intensive training in a hospital because you haven't done that, and that's required. Now you have to go do that. And so she did it, and she loved it. She was so good at it. She didn't know she was. She went in, she did it, and so she performed so well. And they said, well, that was really good, but you know, you really need to take the Bible content exam now. And so she did it, and she aced it, amazingly so, because that year she took it, a third of the people who took it failed it. And it was so bad that they rewrote it the next year. But she passed it that first time, and they said, okay, but you need to go to school for one more semester because, you know, it's been 10 years. You need to know about church history, church polity, church government, as if she hadn't been working in churches for the last 10 years. But she took this course a whole semester long, and she aced it, by the way. And then they said, okay, but we think you need to take a theology course in Reformed theology just to make sure. And they let me teach her, and she ended up understanding Reformed theology much better than her teacher did. And she aced their exam, and then they said, this is all true, isn't it? This is all, she hasn't told you, but this is all true. Then they said, well, Jenny, you've done so well. Why don't you just wait one more year to make sure? They did, and she did it. And during that time, I got her to preach all the time in our church. And then the people really were ready for her to do all the preaching in the church. I mean, she is really good. And our congregation loved her, and they saw her gifts, and they said, why on earth are we waiting? But Jenny did what she had to do, and then the presbytery said, okay, you can make yourself open to a calling, but not yet. You have to wait until the fall of 2017. And I will just tell you that in all of my 45 years of ordained ministry, many of those years in a church across the street from Austin Seminary, and the last 14 years right by Louisville Seminary, I have never seen a candidate as good, as qualified as Jenny Marshall. But wait, that's not the applause moment. Wait. The applause moment, we've got to see some light somewhere in this. Where is there light? Well, the light came from a church on North Street in Nacogdoches, Texas, of all places. You are the light in this story. 2 weeks after she was finally declared able to look for a call, you called her loud and clear and positive and full of light. Here, a search committee, a congregation, a minister named Steve. Where is Steve? Steve. Everyone here was saying, yes, we want to call this woman to be our associate pastor, our minister, our evangelist, our leader, our God, our teacher, our hope for the future. And the other light was from, I don't know, could it be from a presbytery named New Covenant? Because they had to approve it now. And so she was all ready to go and meet with them. And then Harvey something, somebody got it. I don't know. Harvey got in the way somehow. And they said, well, we'll just call you and we'll do this Skype and talk to you. And a presbytery named New Covenant immediately said, yes, we've been waiting for you all our lives. We just didn't even know it. So well done, Westminster, and well done, New Covenant. You are not locked in a room or fearful or idle. I mean, the presence of Christ is so alive in this church. I saw it all over the place this morning. And you are so blessed. And the future of your church is so blessed. And every little girl in this church and every boy as well and in this community get to know and to see the truth that was spoken by Jesus 2,000 years ago when he commissioned Mary Magdalene and Mary, and they were to go out and to share the word and do the work. You speak hope to this whole community by what you are doing this day. Today is a day of light. Today is a day of yes. Let's get on with it. Do we have to do all those other things in the service? Do we have to? I can't wait another minute for a resounding yes to this amazing woman of God, Jennifer Zellner Marshall. Amen, amen. Yes, 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 so be it.
Please be seated. There is so much wonderful to respond to in that magnificent preaching the word to us. But I would point out, it took how long to get through the process? It sounds like 17, 18 years. Whatever it was, you can see the hand and providence of God in that, because 17 or 18 years ago, we were not looking for another pastor in this church. And I think I speak for everybody I've spoken with, is that we do see the hand of God in calling Jennifer to this position. When I talked with Jennifer, and I will be frank with you, I didn't want to, we use the word technically associate pastor, but in no way should that be thought of as pastor second class or the young preacher. in every aspect of ministry, we hope to share this together. And so she is younger than me. She has a little more energy when it comes to the youth group, but in no way is she just a Christian education director or a youth director. She is a pastor in this church who will be praying with you, marrying you, burying you, visiting you, guiding you, inspiring you, and walking with you. And I am looking forward to several more years of exciting ministry. All of a sudden, I'm no longer in that position. I'm sorry. I'm no longer in that position where I think, well, gosh, I'm getting up in the 60s now, and I can just sit back and preach old sermons and just go down into glories. But I am feeling inspired these last years of ministry that God has for me as serving the Lord in a position such as this. Going down with getting my fingers dirty, getting the fingernails dirty. Will you please join me in prayer? Lord God, with great joy, we remember your saving work accomplished through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. We give thanks for your spirit that comes to dwell within your church, giving us the power to share this good news. May our love for you and our love for the world increase, and may our faith, though the size of a grain of mustard, is enough for us to step out and accomplish the work you have given to the church. May we walk as children of the light, who through your grace has come into the world. May those who come in contact each day with us see your brightness and the brightness of your hope. And as we look toward the day of Christ's coming, keep us faithful in your work. We give you thanks for your servant, Jennifer Marshall. We are grateful for her vision, her calling, for the work she has already accomplished. And may your spirit richly dwell in her life and ministry, and we pray that she will lead this church to follow Jesus Christ. Give her wisdom, energy, and love, and make us open to receive her leadership, eager to work with her, and to be open to new ideas. May we, serving in your church, be allowed the grace to worship you, to serve those who you have called, who you have called us to minister, to learn from your word, and to reach out with the gospel. We continue to pray for the work of New Covenant Presbytery. Continue to bless our efforts as we help victims of Hurricane Harvey get their lives back together, but also in so many other areas of ministry, taking care of homeless, the hungry, those who are cold, just doing the general work of the presbytery. May your spirit be upon us. And now we take a moment to offer to you our silent prayers. And as our Savior taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Will you please stand?
Would you please stand and repeat with me what we believe, the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. And he ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. For from thence shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. Now is the time that we offer our best to our good and gracious God. This afternoon's offering will be used to support the Presbytery of New Covenant's candidates for ministry and Pastor's Special Needs Fund. Will the ushers please come forward? Lord God, here are the gifts we present to you. May they express our love for Jesus Christ, and may they be used for his glory, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, folks, as Woody warned you, the only thing holding this thing up now is the presbytery. We are all called to the Church of Jesus Christ by baptism and marked as Christ's own by the Holy Spirit. This is our common calling. We are all called to be disciples and servants of Jesus Christ. Some are called to particular service and to particular forms of ordered ministry, as ruling elders like myself, or teaching elders. Recognizing the importance of each office, the Church ordains women and men in order to assure fulfillment of the primary responsibilities of preaching the word and ministering the sacrament, ordering the governance of the church, and providing for ministries of care and compassion in the world. Today, we gather to ordain Jennifer Zellner Marshall as a teaching elder and to install her as Associate Pastor of Westminster Presbyterian Church of Nacogdoches, Texas. Reverend Newton, will you please present the candidate?
Can I have the candidate? Mr. Moderator, yes. Dr. Jennifer Marshall has completed her seminary work and followed the extensive requirements of Transylvania Presbytery to make sure you are ready for us. She has preached for our presbytery on November the 18th. And she has been examined. All of her examinations have been sustained by the presbytery, and might I say, sustained with flying colors. The congregation of Westminster Presbyterian Church has met and with great enthusiasm voted to place a call into her hands. And as the pastor of this church and a member of the Presbytery of New Covenant, it is my great joy to present Dr. Jennifer Marshall to the Presbytery Commission to be ordained as a teaching elder and then to be installed as the associate pastor of Westminster Presbyterian Church.
Will you pray with me? Almighty God, in every age you have chosen servants to speak your word and to lead your loyal people. We thank you for Jenny, whom you have called to serve you. Please give her special gifts to do her special work and fill her with your Holy Spirit so she may have the same mind that was in Christ Jesus and be a faithful disciple as long as she shall live. Amen. Jenny, God has called you by the voice of the church to serve Jesus Christ in a special way. You know who we are and what we believe, and you understand the work for you for which you have been chosen. Are you ready to answer the constitutional questions as stated in our Book of Order?
Yes.
Do you trust in Jesus Christ, your Savior, acknowledge him as Lord of all and head of the church, and through him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you?
I do.
Do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be, by the Holy Spirit, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ and the Church Universal, and God's word to you? Do you?
I do.
Do you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith as expressed in the confessions of our church as authentic and reliable expositions of what Scripture leads us to believe and do? And will you be instructed and led by those confessions as you lead the people of God? Do you and will you?
I do.
Will you fulfill your ministry in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and be continually guided by our confessions? Will you?
I will.
Will you be governed by our church's polity, and will you abide by its discipline? Will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry, working with them, subject to the ordering of God's words and spirit? Will you?
I will.
Will you, in your own life, seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world? Will you?
I will.
Do you promise to further the peace, unity, and purity of the church? Do you?
I do.
Will you pray for and seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? Will you?
I will.
Will you be a faithful teaching elder, proclaiming the good news in word and sacrament, teaching faith and caring for people? Will you be active in government and discipline, serving in the councils of the church? And in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? Will you?
I will.
At this time, ruling elder Sue Atkin will now propound the constitutional questions to the congregation.
Will you please stand with me? And it's my great honor to ask you to give answer to the following questions. Do we, the members of the church, accept Jennifer Marshall as our associate pastor, chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to guide us in the way of Jesus Christ? If you do, say, we do.
We do.
Do we agree to pray for Jennifer, to encourage her, to respect her decisions, and to follow as she guides us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is head of the church? If you do, say, we do.
We do.
Do we promise to pay Jennifer fairly and provide for her welfare as she works among us, to stand by her in trouble and to share in her joys? Will we listen to the word she preaches and welcome her pastoral care and honor her authority as she seeks to honor and obey Jesus Christ, our Lord? If you do, will you say, we do, and we will.
We do, and we will.
At this time, I would like to invite all elders, both ruling elders and teaching elders in the audience, to come forward for prayer and the laying on of hands. Please pray with me. Gracious God, pour out your spirit upon your servant Jenny, whom you've called by baptism as your own. Grant her the same mind that was in Christ Jesus. Give her a spirit of truthfulness to rightly proclaim your word in Christ from pulpit, table, and font, and in the actions of daily living. Give her the gifts of your Holy Spirit to build up the church, to strengthen the common life of your people, and to lead with compassion and vision. In the walk of faith and for the work of ministry, give to your servant Jenny and to all who serve as elders among your people gladness and strength, discipline and hope, humility, humor, courage, and an abiding sense of your presence. Bless, we pray, on this new call, O God, this church, this call between Jenny and the people of Westminster Presbyterian Church. Grant them your Holy Spirit as they work together to seek the mind of Christ and work to do Christ's missions and ministry in this community and beyond. Give them joy in their service together, fruitfulness in their common ministry, and faithfulness in their mission. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Jenny? That's all right.
My boy. It's not the press day, you'll just know.
It's your. Okay. Jennifer Zellner Marshall, you are now a teaching elder in the Church of Jesus Christ and for this congregation. Be faithful and true to your ministry so that your whole life will bear witness to the crucified and risen Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Jenny has been duly installed by the Presbyterian New Covenant as associate pastor for this congregation, Westminster Presbyterian Church. I am now pleased to invite members who are already here. I would like to invite any presbytery staff, any moderators, or anyone here, any ministers of the word and sacrament, to please come forward and give the right hand of fellowship to Jenny. Congratulations.
Oh, let's pull. Oh, yeah, just, yeah, go ahead, really. Good. No, 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 stand up. I'm kneeling for you. You have on a robe.
A robe.
Which represents your education. And the stripes on it representing that you overdid your education. You just went on and on and on. Yeah. But it was all very good. But your ordination gives you the right to now be a pastor to the people in this place. And as such, a stole is given to you, and it symbolizes when Jesus was at the table with his friends and he took the cloth that he had and he washed their feet. So you are now responsible for these people to be there for them in those times of need, to serve them as their pastor. And this particular one is given to you by your family who have seen those gifts in you forever. Joan, stand up. Dave, stand up. They are just... They have been there, and they are there this day, and so this comes as a gift from them that represents your ordination today. Oh my gosh, that's great. And there are three more of them for all the seasons, because your parents want you to keep working through all the seasons. And,
yeah, Steve does too.
But wait, I have one more. This comes as a gift from the people in the church who knew you best as you were going through this process, who supported you through all of those no's that you heard. And notice that it's blue, because one of the things that you did better than ever was you were there teaching them to pray. Your Holy Week things that you did, the music you brought. And so from people who know you and love you, to wear it whenever you need it. Here it is. Is that beautiful? But wait. There's one more. And this comes from me and from Jan because we love you. And we want you to make sure red is the color of celebration. We want you to forget all of those no's and only live in the yeses and in the celebrations. And this is from Guatemala. Your ordination is all over the world now. You can do this anywhere, and you will. And it's a great joy to do this as well. And the other thing that we have still to give you is hugs. You are a blessing.
Blessing to me.
Thanks.
Wow. Look at where you are. Look around you. Soak all that in. Look at all the people that are surrounding here that love you so much and want nothing but the best for you. I am counting myself in that. I'm not a minister of the word and sacrament, but I have a lot of friends who are. And I always marvel at their strength and their unselfishness to serve the God who called them. In the scripture text today, I heard several statements of "here I am," "do not be afraid," and one statement maybe even more important, "speak, for your servant is listening." These are all very important things to do and be as a pastor. These are actions that require patience, courage, and being present in the moment. actions that I dare say we should all practice as we walk this journey of faith and discipleship. And for a pastor, your actions will speak volumes to this congregation and the staff and to the community of Nacogdoches. So I did have to ask a friend of mine, a newly ordained associate pastor. I asked him, what are some things you may have wanted to know in the beginning? So in no particular order, he gave me a list. It was quite lengthy. I didn't bring them all. First thing, remember that we do all things for the glory of God and no one else. There are times that it will be lonely and you will want to do something else. Those times happen, and when they do, go and be even more intentional about your self-care and prioritizing why you do this. This job can have the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. Lean into all of them. Don't spend all your time in the office. If you are to sin, sin boldly. And he thanked Luther for this one. You're going to make mistakes, but you will learn from them. Professional tip, never let the head pastor be surprised. I don't know the story, but he threw that in there. Find friends and colleagues in ministry that you can share your joys and your miseries with. Empathy is an amazing thing. We do this together, not alone. Don't fall for the false assumption that you have to do everything. It's okay to say no and to delegate. And I'll repeat the first one. Remember that we do all things for the glory of God and no one else. Jenny, you have been called by our mighty and awesome God to this time and to this place. So I charge you to be patient, to have courage, and to be present in every moment. And now I welcome.
I have the awesome honor of charging this congregation, a congregation that I love with everything that is in me. And I am excited for Jenny for so many reasons, Jenny, but mostly because this is the congregation that I have always aspired to serve as I go out into the world. You see, Jenny, this congregation took this silly 19-year-old 15 years ago and taught her what it meant to be loved. And I know that as you receive Jenny, that you will too love her as your own, and that you will nurture her and that you will be with her. One of my favorite scriptures is Romans 16. And in fact, I don't really like Romans at all, but I like Romans 16. Romans 16:1 says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church, and I ask you to receive her on the Lord in a way worthy of his people and to help her help she may need from you. I love that. I ask you to receive her in a way worthy of his people and to give her the help she may need from you. So what does that look like? What does it look like to receive her in a way worthy of the Lord? Well, dear church, it looks like this. Everything you do for this pastor, your pastor, should be done in love. Everything we do as Christians should be done and motivated by God's love. And if it's not, then we're not doing it right. And I ask you to love the awesome bits of Jenny. The ones that make her glow, the ones that cause her to light up, the ones that allow her to breathe hope along with the Holy Spirit into this congregation. And let go of the things about her that frustrate you, because there will be some. There's going to be days where you're like, Jenny did not get it. She does not understand what I'm asking. And she might be wholly clueless to the whole thing. Let it go. Invite her into your home. Invite her into your families. Let her be a part of your celebrations. Don't let her sit alone with her family on a holiday. Invite her to your Easter table. Sit with her at Thanksgiving. Walk with little Georgia as she trick-or-treats. Be a part of her family. It's hard to raise a baby far away from your family. It's hard not to have grandparents around the corner. It's not only hard for the parents and the child, but it's hard for the grandparents that are across the country. Step up, people. Be the grandparents of this child. Watch this child. Help her grow. Babysit when asked. And offer when not asked, because they absolutely need it. Laugh and cry with Jenny. Hold your heart open. Don't close it to her. Let her in, because only if you do that will she truly see the Spirit of God that lives within you. Jenny has the honor of being the very first woman pastor of this congregation. The very first woman. What a miraculous spiritual moment that you have walked together and with her. You have called this woman to serve God in your midst, and the Holy Spirit has ordained her to do that. But she is not a miracle worker. So you're going to have to put your boots on and get your hands dirty. Don't tell her no every time she has a big old idea. Say yes, even if you think it might fail. It might, but it just might succeed, and it might change everything. Don't be afraid to do the work that she puts in front of you, for everything she does is ordained by God. Lift her up. Push her forward. Let her be a beacon of peace and hope and light, not only in your lives, not only in the lives of this congregation, but in the life of this community. Love her as you have loved me. If you treat her with the same kindness that you treated me 15 years ago, then this will be the best call of her life. Amen.
Save my life. And now, beloved friends, as we prepare to leave this place, let us go forth to love and to serve, knowing full well that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is with us now and always. Amen.
Oh, yeah, we serve you. No, I just can't. Once they started, I just stopped. She got two.
So welcome. I thank you for just having me here. I love it. Thank you. I know. Thank you.
You made our day every day.
You're welcome.
Thank you.